This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on BFM Radio. I'm Sumitra Selvaraj. With me is Sharmila Ganesan and Lim Soo Ann. As always, we have two stories for you today. The first is about World Pneumonia Day. Now, the latest statistics on the causes of death in Malaysia released by the Department of Statistics Malaysia revealed that pneumonia is the second leading cause of death in the country. And because it is World Pneumonia Day today, there is no better time to examine why people are still dying from this infection, which, by the way, can be prevented. What we're going to be looking at is the fact that, you know, heart disease is the leading cause of death in Malaysia. It's a fairly well bandied about fact, right? We certainly talk about it quite a bit on our health and living programming here. But the fact that pneumonia is the second leading cause of death in Malaysia caught me by surprise. Mm. I might have guessed cancer.
I wouldn't have thought of it, no.
Perhaps road accidents even. But, you know, you'd be surprised to learn that when it comes to, so second leading cause of death overall, but then when it comes to the 0 to 14 years age demographic, pneumonia is the leading cause of death of children in Malaysia.
Mm. And it's not just Malaysia. Mm. According to the global advocacy group Stop Pneumonia, the disease is the single biggest infectious killer of children worldwide. Over 800,000 children succumb to pneumonia every single year. Yep. And it's worth mentioning up front that this is a disease that can be prevented. Mm.
So today isn't just World Pneumonia Day. It is actually also the 10th anniversary of this event, World Pneumonia Day. And for this story, right, we want to turn the spotlight on the fight against pneumonia and specifically to look at how to end preventable deaths in children with pneumonia.
Yeah, so to get a better understanding of why children are so susceptible to pneumonia, I reached out to Dr. Hilmi Lokman, who is an internal medicine and respiratory medicine physician. To get some context, I first asked Dr. Hilmi, what exactly is it about the disease that causes such a high mortality rate?
Okay, pneumonia affects the lungs, and the lungs is one of the major organs that's important for survival. Mm. And it's also the organ where you need to have oxygen absorbed from the air and help to excrete or expel carbon dioxide. So anything that will impair breathing will have a significant impact on the body's function on its own. So this is especially important in those patients who also suffer from other chronic diseases such as heart disease, kidney disease, etc. So we need to have a good functioning lung in order to have the rest of the body function as well. So if you think about pneumonia, what happens is that anybody with pneumonia, it will cause the lung to be much more solid. Mm-hmm. It affects oxygenation. It also causes a lot of reaction where there's a lot of inflammation going on. And as a result, there's reduced function of the lung, whereby there's reduced oxygen delivery, oxygen absorption, and also reduction in the carbon dioxide that can be expelled. So most patients who has lung problems or significant lung problems with regards to either pneumonia or even things like, say, COPD or asthma, they feel sometimes they're actually drowning. So it does impact all of the bodily function.
Okay. Can you maybe quickly just explain to us, how does one contract pneumonia?
Okay, pneumonia can be contracted in numerous ways. I mean, one thing is poor hygiene status is one, whereby they live in very dirty conditions or the air that they absorb is very poor, pollutions. We can also get it from contraction of infectious disease from another person. Mm. So if somebody has a very virulent or very strong infection and they actually cough it and it goes airborne, somebody that's close to them being exposed repeatedly can actually affect them in such a way. Mm. Now, there's also in terms of those who have poor nutrition status. So patients who are not well nourished, they don't eat very well, very thin, very skinny. So their immune system is going to be very poor. So the ability for them to fight infection as per normal person will be quite poor as well. Mm. Patients with, say, lack of exercise can get it as well, because we know that from numerous studies, by exercising, you can actually improve your immune system.
Okay.
So we have to think about all those. And not forgetting also the fact that some people are exposed to cigarette smoking as well.
Right.
So cigarette smoking does impair the ability for the lung to function properly, adequately. So that applies to those current smokers, but also who are secondary smokers as well.
So why then are children particularly susceptible to pneumonia?
Okay, children can be susceptible to pneumonia for one, their lungs, even though we know that they should be functioning quite well, but they are not functioning as well as an adult. So the airway passages are smaller, they get congested quite easily. So if you know, for people who's got children, they can see that some children, they can get runny nose quite easily. So airway is quite small. So children who has a very, very big tonsils, they obstruct. So the airway, so this all is a contributing factor to children getting or contracting pneumonia much, much easier than people in adult. Again, we have to think about children nowadays compared to children in the past, whereby they're getting less exercises, the diet is just not as good as before, probably taking more in terms of fast foods, not really fresh food, etc. And also things like family members who are smokers, again, poor hygiene again. So this all is not good for their immune system and also for the lungs.
Okay. You know, coughs and fevers are fairly common in young children. So, you know, as parents, how do you know that what looks like a simple, you know, upper respiratory tract infection is going to tip over into pneumonia? What should you be looking out for?
Okay, parents should know how their children are normally. So anything out of the ordinary is quite easy for them to spot by a ride. Don't take any chances with children, even though you think, oh, they should be okay. But I think the main thing is just be aware. Children who are less alert, appears to be too clingy than normal when they're unwell, look at their change in the color of the child. If the child seems to be breathing rapidly, more rapidly than normal, complaining that the chest is a bit tight, and also things like wheezing as well is probably worthwhile just having more attention to as well. And again, the other thing that we normally tell parents is that look at their children if they don't feel like they're eating. So reducing appetite, they just push the food away. Obviously, that's not a good sign. Always get the children checked by a medical practitioner. It will be the best thing just to be safe.
And can a vaccination prevent pneumonia or perhaps even reduce the risk of getting pneumonia?
Okay, main thing we do recommend for children to have vaccinations, again, for people who are adult as well. So what the vaccination does, it does help to strengthen the immune system, stimulate antibody production so that the body can be on standby to fight most of the infections. But it's quite important if parents are going to do that, we encourage all parents to do that. The issue that we have nowadays is because of some parents prefer not to get their children vaccinated as well. So that can have an impact on children who are not vaccinated because there's also reduction in what's called the herd response.
Yes.
So if we have anything more than 90% of the children's population are being vaccinated, then the whole population of children tend to be quite well protected. But once the number falls below 90, then other children, even though they're vaccinated, will be prone to getting the infection.
In the recent budget, of course, you know, we had an announcement that the pneumococcal conjugate vaccine was going to be added to the National Immunisation Programme. Do you think that this is going to make a difference in pneumonia-related deaths in Malaysia?
I think this is a huge step forward. It's really a welcome step by the government trying to allocate a certain budget for that. So most definitely. But I really hope that the parents will take up what's being offered by the government so that we can reduce the mortality rate and also more children being affected by this.
So that was internal medicine and respiratory medicine physician Dr. Hilmi Lokman. Now, despite doing a little reading up on the disease, I'm still having trouble wrapping my head around the fact that what starts out as a cough and fever snowballs into the leading infectious disease killer in the world by a wide margin. Some statistics that I dug up showed that in 2017, an estimated 2.6 million people globally died from pneumonia. And this was according to a report by the Global Burden of Disease.
So perhaps part of the trouble in understanding how devastating the disease is the fact that it's apparently so, it's non-complexity.
Yes.
Right? It's easier to think of big diseases like heart conditions or cancer as being deadly. Coughs and colds just don't seem that menacing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But if you look at the next leading infectious disease killer, it happens to be diarrhea, which caused an estimated 1.6 million deaths in 2017.
Mm.
Again, not a condition that you might immediately associate with a high mortality rate.
Yeah, and two-thirds of pneumonia deaths are in 20 countries, and that includes, and this is in order of the number of deaths, India, Nigeria, China, Japan, and the USA.
Yeah.
And that's quite a diverse group of countries when you look at their income as well. Mm-hmm. And the battle isn't just in addressing deaths in children with pneumonia. Mm. It's in adult deaths, which are rising as well.
Yep, yep, yep.
And at this rate, the UN Sustainable Development Goal of ending preventable deaths of newborns and children under the age of 5, that does not look very doable.
Mm, I think the goal was supposed to be 2030. We were supposed to be able to end. Not doable, as you said, Suan. So here's how slow the progress has been, right? Between 1990 and 2017, pneumonia deaths fell by 25%. But you compare, if you take a condition like tetanus, that fell by 88%. Measles fell by 86%.
Mm.
Even deaths from HIV/AIDS have fallen by almost 50% since the peak of the epidemic in 2003.
So considering that pneumonia is the leading cause of death for children, how can agencies defend the abysmal funding allocation that the disease gets?
Yeah.
Between 2007 and 2016, pneumonia attracted just 6% of the $92 billion of international development assistance that was allocated to HIV/AIDS, malaria, and pneumonia, despite causing more deaths than HIV/AIDS and malaria combined.
Yeah, it's just mind-boggling, actually. Mm.
And there is also another analysis by the Research Investments in Global Health Study, and that found that between 2000 and 2015, pneumonia attracted 3% of infectious disease research and development, despite that pneumonia causes 25% of all infectious disease deaths.
Mm.
So who is going to sit up and take notice?
Well, if you're listening to this broadcast, it's you. You have to sit up and take notice. Pneumonia has to be taken seriously. Dr. Hilmi Lokman mentioned this in his interview earlier, right? He mentioned that, you know, parents need to be able to pay close attention to their children. Look at signs or symptoms. If your child exhibits a change in behavior while they're having a cough and fever, take it seriously. But more importantly, the parents can also take up the government's recent offering in Budget 2020 of the pneumococcal conjugate vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Please, please vaccinate your children, not just for their sakes, right, but for the sakes of other children too.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have any thoughts to share about pneumonia or getting your children vaccinated for pneumonia, please do drop us a line. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or you can call us at 03-7733-2900. Let us know what you think. We're going to scoot off for a quick break, but we're going to leave you with Breathe In, Breathe Out by Melody Echo Chamber.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.